Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Truth be told, there is not a one-to-one comparison between the Old Testament Israel and modern-day United States of America. But the United States was founded as an extension of the Western Church, of Christendom, of a people that acknowledged that their blessings had come from God Almighty and that any cursings were caused by their sin or the lies of the devil. And so it makes sense that we would acknowledge the rich blessings that God bestowed upon Christendom in Europe and then in America and wherever else he chooses to plant his word throughout the entirety of the world. For where his word is, where it is properly taught, preached, held to, there God is and he blesses them. You don't need me to tell you that when you look at this culture around you, this culture is no longer a Christian culture. It is not a culture that allows God to dictate morality. It is not a culture that says if God says something is wicked or perverse, then his people say it's wicked and perverse. They mark it, they avoid it, and they make it illegal. That is what we used to do. But instead, as we have given in to the lies of the devil, instead of marking these things as wrong, not because I think that they're wrong, but because God has declared it so, we celebrate them instead. We celebrate the things that lead to destruction, to perdition, to eternal hell. This is not the way, dear Christian. Lent, Ash Wednesday, is the perfect time to return to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it takes not just calling on the nation to do so. It takes each and every one of us in the church to start right there. It takes every man to lead in Christ, every husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church, to be willing to lay down his life for her, to lead her, to protect her, to provide for her, and to shower her with the same joy that Christ sheds on his bride. It takes Christian wives to submit to their husbands, as the church submits to Christ. Not that he rule over her with an iron fist, not that he abuse her, but that she can trust that this man that God has given to be her husband will actually do the things that he has vowed to do. Because if a man would do those things, then women would be free to have the joy of doing what God has created them to do. It takes Christian pastors to stop giving in to their own feelings, to stop giving in to what will make more money, to simply preach God's word, to be ready in season and out of season, to submit to Jesus Christ, not the ears of the hearers. It takes Christian pastors the importance to look inwardly as well, to acknowledge that we are not Jesus. We cannot lead you unless we acknowledge that it's Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that died for you, died for us. Christian men who serve in the office of pastor must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we fail. But just as when you fail, we too look at the cross. And we are reminded that our sins are nailed to that cross too. It takes presidents, governors, village, town, administrators, those who serve on those boards, chairmen and presidents, it takes them looking to the cross of Jesus Christ. Some of you have come to this community just recently. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe you've moved here. Thanks be to God for that. This is a wonderful community, a community that also used to acknowledge that every blessing that she had was actually a gift from the Lord. And quite honestly, the time is now to return to that. We need to stop looking at ourselves and looking what we've done. Because realistically, we have done nothing to earn the blessings that God gives. We seek law and order because God is the one who gives law and he gives order. And so we respect those to whom respect is due. We are not backbiters. We are not gossips. We do not seek to try to tear each other down. Rather, we build one another up. That is a community. That is a family. That is a people who acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today is the day to turn to the Lord with all our hearts, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Some of you remember when this was a Christian nation. Some of you remember when Sunday morning meant nothing was open. You remember that. I don't. And the people younger than me don't. All the times that they know of this are, you can't buy a car on Sunday morning. The Lord's Chicken is closed on Sunday mornings. Hobby Lobby is closed on Sunday mornings. But what have we replaced Sunday morning with? Sunday morning was the day that we rejoiced that our Lord was raised from the dead. Sunday morning was the day that the Christians gathered around the word and the sacraments, not because it was easy, not because it was convenient. In fact, they were put to death for doing so. They did it because Jesus Christ was Lord over their lives and over their deaths. But now what do? We schedule our tournaments for our kids' sports, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and we travel for them. Not only do we schedule them on Sundays, we schedule them for Sunday mornings. We schedule tractorcades and chicken fries on Sunday mornings. We schedule all sorts of things that do not pertain to the word and will of God. And we wonder why he has turned his face. This is the day to return, to consecrate that fast, to hear the words of our Lord. This is the day to return, to rejoice that Jesus Christ is Lord over our lives. Maybe I can't make unbelievers confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day will come. Maybe I can't force them to live like Christians. But we in the church should at least expect that of one another. Not because we expect to be perfect in the church, but because Jesus Christ is perfect. Because Jesus Christ is holy. He tells his disciples, his students, he tells those who would follow him, he tells them these three things. He talks about when they are going to give alms, that is, give charitable deeds. When they are going to pray, and when they are going to fast. He explains how these things are to be done. He says you don't do these things just so that others can see you, so that you can appear holy among them. If you have ashes on your forehead, the point isn't that you're better than anyone else. The point is that you are reminded today that you are a dead man or woman or child walking. That you will return to dust because Adam failed to do what his Lord had proclaimed him to do. And that we fail each and every day. But those ashes are also in the shape of a cross. Because it's the cross of Jesus Christ that conquers your death, your sin, your shame. It conquers all of it. So we don't give to charity so that we can sound a gong and say, look how much better I am than anybody else. We do not pray in public just so we can turn around and say, look how much holier I am than everybody else. We do not go around parading ourselves, look how much better I am at fasting than you are. We return our whole selves to the Lord. Lent is the great time to return to these things. Not because you need them to be saved, but because Jesus Christ lays them out. Today is the day to consecrate the fast, to gather the assembly in the church and in this community, On Sunday morning, when it rolls around, thousands of people in our own community will not be gathered in church. We need to care about mission work, yes, overseas, but we also need to look to our own backyards, to our own houses, to our own neighbors. Have we checked in with them? Have we provided care for them? When was the last time you called someone from this church that you haven't seen in a while, just to check in, to make sure that they're okay? We do these things not to be saved, but because we are saved. We fast, we pray, and we give to others. So during this season, when we are fasting, we have more of two things. We have more time because we're not eating. And realistically, in this country, we feast more sumptuously than kings throughout all of history. It's at the push of a button. It's at any drive-through that you might go through, except, again, the Lord's chicken on Sunday mornings. We have more time to pray. And when we are spending less on food for ourselves, we have more money to give to those who are in need. Because realistically, we have more, we eat more, we do more, again, than most kings have done through all of history. And what are we doing with ourselves? What are we doing with the time? What are we doing with the money? It's good to get together with friends, but not at the expense of being too tired or too hungover on Sunday morning to worship. It's good to go on trips with friends or relatives, but also seeking out a congregation to worship wherever it is that you're visiting. We give consideration to the namesake of this church, St. Peter, in his second epistle, the words that he says, the multiplication of the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, for his divine power and godliness rests upon us. It's knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We are virtuous not because we are holy in and of ourselves, but we pursue virtue because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The world seeks after lust and mammon. It seeks after wealth to heap up upon itself. But Jesus says not to do these things. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures rather in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If the Lord has chosen to bless you with children, these are eternal treasures, but they're to be given back to him. Make the decisions necessary to make sure that they are hearing about Jesus Christ day in and day out. Do that in your home, day in and day out. Make sure you teach them how to pray. Make sure you teach them how to worship. Make sure you teach them that they should see the light of Jesus Christ shining brightly in you so that their light may shine to others. The world seeks after lust and all that mammon might offer. But Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Yes, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Give all diligence. Add to the faith that God has given you. Add to it virtue, Peter writes. And to virtue, add knowledge. Yes, you should have a childlike faith, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't come to Bible study. It doesn't mean you shouldn't crack open your Bible every single day and pray. What it means is that at the end of the day, you have grown deeper in your faith, and yet you rely on God as your Father so much that you raise your hands to him and say, Father, I am your child. I trust that you will give and provide everything that I need to support this body and life. To virtue, knowledge. to knowledge, self-control. Christ has set you free from the law, not that you may go on sinning, not that you can give in to every craving that your sinful flesh has, but so that you can be controlled, that your body be disciplined, that you receive the blessings of the bread and the wine that are truly Christ's body and blood, given and shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. To self-control, perseverance. When things get hard in my life, do I simply quit them? Or do I pray that the Lord would grant me strength to continue forward? To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. These are your brothers and sisters. When your brother or your sister, your mother or your father has rejected the faith, look to these brothers and sisters, these fathers or mothers in the faith, and rejoice to see them. For theirs are the faces that you will see for all of eternity if you retain in perseverance. Dear Christian, this is the day. The fast has been consecrated. The assembly has been called together. The hour is not yet done. Call on your neighbors. Rejoice to have them as a part of your life. Gather week in and week out with your brothers and sisters. Remember daily that you are a baptized child of God, and receive the words of holy absolution with a repentant and joy-filled heart. The church sings, "Though great our sins, yet greater still is God's abundant favor. His hand of mercy never will abandon us nor waver. Our shepherd good and true is he who will at last his Israel free from all their sin and sorrow." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.